Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for stopping by today. You know the deal. I have a chair for you. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Today we're going to be talking about what sounds like an obvious topic. Don't try to be smarter than God, right? We hear that, we say, oh, of course I'm not smarter than God. But you know, a lot of times we look at things that happen in the world, in our lives, and we question, why would God let this happen? What's going on? And I think that what really got me to thinking about this today was the readings from today's Daily Mass. Really, that message was really jumping out at me. And I thought it might be a good idea to talk about this. Don't try to be smarter than God. Again, we all do it. I do it. None of us would claim to be smarter than God, but when we grumble, when we question, when we complain about, I don't understand why this could ever happen, we're doing that. We're saying, God, I'm smarter than you, and I don't understand your way. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with taking it to prayer if you have questions. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And I think more important than the what question, than the why question, I'm sorry, Lord, why are you doing this, is the what question. Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Or Lord, what do you want me to do in this particular situation? That doesn't mean that if something negative or unpleasant is happening in your life, that you shouldn't pray for it to go away. The Lord wants you to do that. But you know, this is part of that growth process, getting to know God, getting to know his son Jesus, getting to know the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works in us. It takes time and it's a process. Part of that process involves sometimes being overruled. You'll pray for something and God will say no. Now, are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to trust him, or do you want to complain about it? Again, there's a difference between praying and griping, and I think it's a fine line sometimes. And it's something that you and I, we've got to figure that out for ourselves, because it might be different for each of us. But the whole gist of today's program is don't try to be smarter than God. And I think when you look at these readings, I think you're going to see what I saw, that this message becomes really clear. My hope today is by looking at these readings, especially the gospel, you'll come to the conclusion that he knows what he's doing better than we do. And that if we say yes to him, even if we don't fully understand, things are going to work out better in the end. You'll see an example of that with St. Peter in the gospel today. And I honestly have seen it in my own life. I believe you will see it in your life. If you go along with God's plan, even if you don't fully understand it, you're going to see blessings come out of that. And you're going to have his power unleashed in your life just by saying yes. There's a lot of power in the word yes, when you say yes to God. I mean, look at what happened with the Blessed Mother. She said yes when the angel came to her and asked her to become the mother of the Messiah. She said yes. We have a Savior because of that. So that's a powerful example of somebody saying yes while still having many unanswered questions. I mean, I don't think anybody had more unanswered questions than Mary. So I've pretty much given the whole show away today, but we still got all the readings to do. We got plenty to talk about. But I want you to know that it's great to have you with me here. I can't believe it's Thursday already. Now, as I record this program, one of my favorite things is happening here in southern New Jersey. We are under a tornado watch. And yep, and obviously I'm being facetious here. It drives me crazy. It reminds me that we are not in control, that I am not in control. And you know what? Between us, I don't like it. We've got the tornado watch going on till later this evening. Now, of course, it's not a warning. It's a watch. And I don't think the chance is that great that we're going to get one. Typically, we don't see them in this area very much. But it's still something that makes me uncomfortable. One of those reminders, like COVID, that I'm not in control. I can only do so much. And again, that's not easy for people like me. You might not be like me, but if you're somebody who tends to like to control things, these situations can be a little painful. But you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing, because maybe I need to be shaken out of my comfort zone a little bit. Maybe I need to remember that God's in charge, that I'm not. But anyway, I am so glad that you're here to accompany me as we do this Thursday edition of Following the Truth. Let's turn to our Father in prayer now. And I would invite you to join me. Let's hold hands virtually maintaining social distancing, but obviously since we're doing it virtually, it's okay. So let's pretend we're holding hands together and gathering in a circle and turning to our Father in heaven and praying, beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this day. First of all, thanking you for all of the times you took care of us, all the needs you provided for in our lives up until this point in time. We thank you for your majesty as we look at the sky, as we look at the sky you created and the clouds, and see the trees and the grass and the mountains and the ocean and the rivers, and see the birds and the fish and the various animals and the various people you have created. Your creation reveals something about you to us, Father. And we thank you for giving us so many things to enjoy. The beautiful weather, the blue sky, a nice summer breeze. All of these things are given to us by you for our enjoyment and also to give us a glimpse of your power, your majesty, your almighty nature. Father, we know that you are above all things, that no purpose of yours can be stopped, that if something happens, you have to allow it to happen. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you are with us now. We know that you are always pleased when we turn to you in prayer. And we come to you in prayer today with grateful hearts, with expectant faith, asking you to bless us, to bless our families and our friends. Please continue to draw us closer to you. Help us to enter into a deeper relationship with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Help us to get a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit this day. Please, Holy Spirit, descend on us. Give me the words for this program. And open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. And more than that, be willing to take this message and put it into practice in our daily lives. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. We prayed. Thanks for joining me in prayer. Thanks for joining me on the program. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Following the Truth. If you're a new listener to this program, this podcast is available 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, free of charge. You can just download it from your normal podcast source. It, as always is the case when I'm talking to you, obviously you're listening to it, so you get that. But let your friends know. You let them know that the show exists and they are able to access it too. Again, it doesn't cost anything, 30 minutes a day. In addition, don't forget about the weekly program that I do. It's going to be available tomorrow, as it is every Friday. The Gary Zimak Show, when I reflect on the Sunday weekly mass readings. So you can get that show same place as you got this one, free of charge. Also, make sure you sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. You can get that free of charge, too, sent to your inbox every day. Typically, around noonish Eastern time. Sometimes it's a little later, sometimes it's a little earlier, but that's when it generally goes out. You can do that. You can get it on the mailing list simply by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, and supplying your email address. That's really all you have to do. And don't forget, it's September the 3rd today. In just a few short weeks, my next book's going to be out. Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. I'm really excited about that book. I'm going to tell you more about it as the release date draws near. After that, there's going to be more books on the way, too, so get ready. If you like my books, there's going to be a lot, several more books coming after this one. If you don't like my books, you're probably not listening to my show, so it really doesn't matter. Anyway, followingthetruth.com is the place to go for more information. All right, I told you we're going to talk about these mass readings. Now, today, I'm going to read them in the order that they occur in the mass. A lot of times on the program, especially on my weekly show, I'll begin with the gospel. But today, I just feel the Spirit telling me, go in the order that they appear in the mass. The message, don't try to be smarter than God. The first reading comes from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 3. And then verses 18 through 23. St. Paul states, brothers and sisters, let no one deceive himself. You know, that's a reminder for all of us. We tend to deceive ourselves often. Oh, this isn't really a sin. Oh, this isn't a big deal. Maybe I should do this. I really do trust God, when in reality, I don't trust him at all. You know, a lot of ways we deceive ourselves. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. Now, when you first hear this, you think, what in the world is St. Paul talking about? Is he saying, if I'm smart, I have to become stupid? No, that's not what he's saying. Let me continue on and it'll make sense. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. For it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. I mean, I don't know how to sum this up, but what I would say is, in Christ, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we have access to God's wisdom. What Paul is saying here, I believe, is people in this world who think they're smart and exclude God, and that happens a lot. You know, you have a lot of people who are not giving the credit to God for their intelligence. And frankly, they are making quite often expressing opinions, making decisions that go against the commands of the Lord. And when they do that, they're not really being that smart. Although you're going to get lots of people in the world who will back them up and say, yeah, this is smart. People who follow Jesus are not smart. You know, Jesus was always at odds with the wisdom of the world. Wisdom of the world contradicts the wisdom of the gospel. It's just different. Following Christ in today's society, much in the way when Jesus was alive, is countercultural. It goes against the typical belief of the culture, because we live in a world, at least I should say we live in a country, the United States is really plagued by this, where the object of life seems to be make yourself as comfortable as possible and spend as much money as you can. Of course, make as much money as you can so you can spend it and make yourself comfortable and literally set up a heaven on earth. And you know, I think so many times we try to establish our security based on our bank accounts and on our possessions and on our status, but really our only security, true security, rests in God alone. I believe that this COVID pandemic is bringing that to light. People are starting to realize that they are not in control. At least I hope they are. I'm realizing it. I hope you're realizing it, and I hope the world is beginning to get the message. But, you know, some people are dense, and they're not going to accept the fact that God is in control. I've said this before on the show. Of course, I don't say this to scare you, because I'm not a prophet. I can't predict the future. But when I hear people say, we will get through this pandemic, we're going to get through this, everything's going to be back to normal, I don't know that. Only God knows that. I pray that it happens. I'm hopeful that it happens. But if it does happen, and when it does happen, it's solely due to God's goodness and power. You know, we can't attribute everything in life to science, to this is the way it happened before, so this is the way it'll happen again. Ultimately, God is in charge, and he's in control. We are not in control, but we want to be. So the message here is, if you consider yourself to be smart and that your intelligence is not coming from God and your decisions and your thought process is not in accordance with his teachings as expressed in his church, then you're not really that smart. I mean, so that's the message. And also, don't think that you're smarter than God. And when something happens that you don't understand, turn on God, because it shouldn't be that way. I really don't recommend that. It's not very smart to do that, because it's just going to make you miserable. You know, and it's really going to take you out of, he's going to be there for you. It's not like you move away from him, but you sort of turn your back on him and you hurt yourself. You know, and that's the thing to remember. God knows more than we do. And he really does know what he's doing. And sometimes, look, I don't like it either, but sometimes he just asks us to trust him, even when it doesn't make sense. And we're going to see an example of this in the gospel. I might as well do the responsorial psalm. It's Psalm 24. To the Lord belongs the earth and all that fills it. You know, the obvious message here is that don't think that God just set up the earth and all of our daily lives and all of the business that goes on and doesn't get involved in it. God's very much involved, not only in the world, but in your life and my life. So anything that happens to us somehow has to get approved by God. We were created according to his specifications. He designed us. So it's not an accident that you and I look the way we do, feel the way we do. Our bodies are put together in the way they are. We were born at the time we were, where we were. It's not an accident. God designed all of this. The Lord's are the earth and its fullness. Sometimes we try to take him out of the picture, but this is his earth. He created it. The Lord and those who dwell in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. You know, we sometimes forget that he created the earth and the stars and all the planets and the universe. Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He whose hands are sinless, whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks for him, that seeks the race, the face of the God of Jacob. If we continually seek God in our lives, try to do his will, we're going to make it to heaven. I don't think we should overcomplicate that. Sometimes we become miserable and scared that we are not going to make it to heaven. I agree that some healthy fear of the Lord, it's a good thing and keeps us on our toes. But you got to remember, God our Father, he's a loving Father who wants us to live with him in heaven. And if you desire it, I wish I could think of who said this. One of the saints said something to the effect of, to desire to be a saint is already to become one. I believe that. So yeah, if all you got to do is try your best, turn to the Lord for help, follow his commandments, love one another, and you will make it to heaven. That is a great thing to think about. That's going to brighten your day, especially if you're having a bad day. Hey, one day I get to live with the Lord in heaven. And you know, the closer you get to him, I was thinking about this in the shower today, the closer you get to him, the more desirable that becomes. Initially, I remember thinking like, well, I like God. I mean, he and I were okay, but this heaven thing, that sounds a little boring to me. But the more you get close to him, and I've seen this in my own life, the more you desire it, the more that becomes appealing to you, the more spending time with him forever sounds really good. The Gospels, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, Jesus asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." I'm just going to pause right here, because what we have here is Jesus the carpenter telling the fisherman, Peter or Simon, how to go about doing his job. Now, Simon Peter said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." How humble was it for Peter to say that? To take fishing advice from the carpenter. Even though they caught nothing all night, which is the prime time for fishing. So what Jesus is saying technically doesn't make sense. But for some reason, good old Peter listens to him. But he points out, we haven't caught anything, but at your command, I will lower the net. So here we have an example of someone believing in Jesus, obeying him, even when it technically doesn't make sense. So what happens? When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. Look at that. You can't argue with the results. they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, we don't know what was going on in Peter's head, but the fact that he said to Jesus that we fished all night and we didn't catch anything, you know, it's almost like he caught himself. He caught his thinking, doubting Jesus, and then sort of corrected and said, "We haven't caught anything, but if you say so, we're going to do it anyway." You know, for whatever reason, this affected Peter. And I think we all do this. We do this often. We doubt Jesus. We question him. Sometimes we refuse to obey. At least Peter obeyed. For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. So everybody is blown away by the fact that Jesus just did something pretty powerful. And you know, remember, this is a learning process with these guys. They don't know him that well. They're new in their relationship with him. And therefore, they're getting to know one another. Just like you and me, we're getting to know Jesus. We might be on different levels. We all are, for the rest of our lives, going to be on that journey of getting to know Jesus, getting to know him a little bit better. And I think that's exactly where we should be a year from now. We should know him better than we do right now. Actually, every day you should know him a little bit better than you do now. But it's more noticeable when you go year to year. I look back at the way I used to think in the not too distant past, and I see changes. I really do. I'm not where I need to be. I don't think any of us ever are going to be where we need to be. That's okay. It's something we want to continually work on for the rest of our lives, just trying to get a little bit closer to him, desiring to obey him more, trusting him more. And the more you see, like these guys, the more you see his intervention in your life, the more willing you will be to trust him. And Jesus knows that, and he does these things like this, these miracles, for a reason, because he wants us to trust him more. So after all this, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid," a very popular message contained in Scripture. "From now on, you'll be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Now you see, this is the example of an encounter with Christ, the power of it, what it can do. And I put it out there to you and to me. We've seen what Jesus has done in the Gospels. We've seen him work in our lives. Are we willing to leave everything and follow him? Now, to leave everything doesn't mean you divorce your wife, quit your job. It means leave all of your attachments, or mainly the ones that keep you away from him. Are you ready to put him first in your life? That's a tougher question than you might think, because sure, we're all going to say yes. But I've discovered that I still have a lot of attachments. I still like comfort. I don't like the unknown sometimes. It's hard for me. You know, am I willing to really put him first? There's people who I don't really want to help because I don't like them. No, these are challenges. These are challenges. Am I willing to put him first? What I would recommend is, like Peter, James, and John, spend time with him. You know, don't force yourself to give up everything and put Jesus first. Spend time with him. And I think the more time you spend with him in prayer, through the sacraments, through reading Scripture, the more you do that, the more you're going to fall in love with him. And the more you're going to be willing to do whatever it takes to sustain that relationship, even to get to the point where you are thanking him for sending adversity into your life because it draws you closer to him. You know, you do not grow closer to the Lord or grow in your faith in good times. It just doesn't happen, because you don't have the opportunity to put your faith to the test when everything's going great for you. It's during the difficult times, when there's a lot of uncertainty, maybe some suffering, some challenges, that's when you get to step out in faith and really trust him. I can't test or put into practice my trust for Jesus if there's nothing to trust them about. But when there comes a time when I can't solve a problem, right? Or when I'm struggling to figure something out, it's then that I can say, Jesus, I trust in you. I don't know what's going on. I can't explain this. I don't like it, but I choose to trust in you. That's how you grow closer to him, okay? So anyway, hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm going to have to get on out of here very shortly. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we go, I want to steer you once again to my website, followingthetruth.com, and ask you a favor. Donations are down, and if you are able I really could use a few additional monthly sponsors. So if you'd be willing to do that, I mean, if you could just, you can literally sign up for 1 month to be a monthly sponsor of my work, and then quit. You can quit at any time. So if you decide after you commit to becoming a monthly sponsor to give it up, you can quit after 1 monthly donation. You know, so it's very simple to do. It's good to have monthly donors. It really helps me. But if for some reason you can't do that, you can make a one-time donation as well. You would really help me out by doing that. You just simply go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and then you get sent to PayPal, where it's all set up for you, and you can, with totally secure manner, make your donation there. So again, followingthetruth.com, donate. If you enjoy my work, if you enjoy this show, if you enjoy the daily email devotional, please consider supporting my work. I can't go out and speak at the present moment just because all talks are canceled. So a lot of my income has been reduced based on this pandemic. So I turn to you, even though I don't like it. It's so hard for me to talk about money, but I know you'd want to know that. I know that based on the messages I get that you would want me to be honest with you. So if you could please help me out and make a donation, I'd be very grateful. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go to do that. All right. Again, thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day. I'm going to be praying for you. God willing, I hope to be back here with you tomorrow for the Friday edition of Following the Truth. God bless you. See you next time.